If you knew you were starting a business that would generate you $1 million per year, how much would you be willing to invest today?
Travis Ferris is a real estate entrepreneur, sales coach, team leader, public speaker, and community builder. He's done the work with over $500 million in total sales. Now he's welcoming you to the table. But make sure you're ready. The coffee is for closers only.
The mindset's the one thing that's going to keep you going.
Coffee for Closers is powered by Collab Agents. Here's your host, Travis Ferris.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Coffee for Closers. On today's episode, I was actually a special guest on the One Percenter podcast with Miss Selena Eklund, who's the head trainer for Andy Elliott and the Elliott Group. We were out there in Scottsdale just to kind of go check things out, and we swung by and got to go hang out with Selena. Had a great time. But again, I just wanted to tune you in. I'm actually getting interviewed on this podcast, but I just wanted to drop it on our social and our podcast platform so you guys could actually hear it. Great episode, a lot of fire.
And the interesting thing is, like, are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. But we're literally living the life that we used to pray for and work for and get up at, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to just grind and get there.
Guys, welcome back to our channel. I got a big dog in the house, and it's not D-O-G-G-G. A lot of you probably think that. It's D-A-W-G. I got a big dog in the house, and his name is Travis, Mr. Travis Ferris. And in the background, too, as well, we have his beautiful wife, Miss Nisa Ferris, with us today. So this is something that I'm now starting into my podcast that's new.
Okay.
And you're going to be the first person.
Yay.
So one of my top DMs that I get is, or like people like message me, like, why should I listen to you and your story? Like, why are you important? What value do you add?
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? That's a really great question. So from here moving forward, I'm going to start doing that with every guest on my podcast.
Boom.
I'm going to ask, why should people listen to you? What's the importance of your story? So let's kick off the podcast with that.
Bam. That is an amazing question. And again, we were just kind of talking about not preparing on questions and just being able to let it rip. I guess the one thing that I find unique about us is anytime I listen to anyone, I want to know where they're at and where they came from. And like that differential from where they came from to where they're at, that's what I'm interested on. It's not where someone was dropped off and they maintained. As far as us, we've built a 50 million a year business from nothing. Got into real estate 10 years ago, but was broke as a joke. In college, no money, no handouts, no one in real estate, no parents paying for college, went through the suffering, built it up, burnt it down. Like, I don't want to say we lost everything, but it's we definitely built it up, burnt it to the ground with no handouts, no give outs, no nothing. And through like sheer determination, we're literally going from like ground zero, if not like negative one, to a pretty decent place. So where we're at now, and the interesting thing is, like, are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. But we're literally living the life that we used to pray for and work for and get up at, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to just grind and get there. And again, like every successful person, I always automatically say, like, how'd they get there? And I mean, through us and again, beautiful wife, Nisa, which you can tell in sales, always look at the spouse.
I love that.
Oh. You can see a closer when you look at their
spouse.
That
is powerful. Guys, dating tip 101, even women dating tip. I feel like this, we're making it a dating podcast now. Okay, it's not even about sales.
Yeah.
But I love that. Okay, so you guys own a real estate firm and you guys have multiple teams. Is that right?
Kind of correct. Let's see. We started from nothing, got into real estate, started at, you know, XYZ company. We actually opened up and ran our own Better Homes and Gardens franchise for over 4 years. And so this is where it's interesting because we talk about sales in different industries. So I'm in the real estate space. I'm definitely not a real estate agent. I got to be careful how I talk about real estate because it's like I get really harsh. In terms of real estate agents, we are not a real estate agent. We are brand builders, industry leaders, disruptors, and, you know, always forward thinking. But when we were running the traditional real estate brick and mortar franchise of Better Homes and Gardens, which is a Realogy franchise, we immediately saw the writing on the wall, like, oh God, you know, black hole of the financial pit. We saw the trajectory of where we know we're going in life and where that was taking us, and we wrapped it up. So we actually ended up bringing our entire company and team, and we plugged it into a company called EXP Realty.
We love EXP. We have a lot of people that train with us in EXP.
That's wonderful.
A lot of people. And they're good people, too. Yeah. Like, we like to do business with good people that, you know, I mean, have good faith, treat their wives right, their kids right, you know, believe in the Bible. So that's cool that I feel that from other people, not just you.
For sure. But it doesn't really, again, I think every industry, it doesn't matter what name's on the door. It's who you are. And so, you know, we if you looked at our brand and what we do, like, it's not like, oh, you're with EXP. It's our own team. It's our own company. It's our own kind of culture and everything that we've built through there. But that has allowed us, because when we were actually with the brick and mortar in Hawaii, and again, came from nothing, not from Hawaii, built a successful, you know, 40, 50 million a year operation on an island that I have no part being on, was not military either that brought us there. We just went out there basically as college kids. And just knew where we wanted to go, and that wasn't going to get us there.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool. So do you guys fly back to Hawaii frequently, or how does that work?
Yeah. So our business partners at the time, when we were like, hey, we're going to expand, like, you know, being on an island, which, Selena, you were from
right? I lived there for 8 years. Awesome. So it's so funny because, I mean, real estate is just massive. When I lived out there, I mean, yeah, just getting property, period, anywhere that you go, but specifically Hawaii, because the land is slowly being taken up, so there's only so much room for people to buy, things to buy.
Absolutely. But it's, you know, moving and grooving and doing our thing there. We hit the ceiling, the island ceilings, and people are like, oh, you were on an island for, you know, almost 20 years. We never felt like that, to where we were like claustrophobic or island fever. Didn't get that at all. But we did hit island dynamics. Like, for any of you guys who have not seen the Elliott Group or the Lion's Den, this is an awesome place. And, like, this is our vibe. Like, we are in crush mode, jam, build, empire building, wealth building, you know, stewards of God's, you know, kingdom and things like that. This is not going on in Hawaii. Like, there's just, there were ceilings. Yeah. And we were like, island dynamics, everyone here is cruising. We're definitely not cruising. So that's where we started in, like, I'd say 16, 17, 18, being like, hey, we want to expand. We want more. Mm. And that's where we knew it's like one of those things where, like, is Hawaii one of the most gorgeous places? Absolutely. But you got to ask the question of, at the end of my life, what do I want to see? And we want to see a lot more sunsets and sunrises in different locations. And we're constantly trying to find something that competes with Hawaii on the beauty. But our business partners could not wrap their head around expansion. We're like, hey, no, we're going to expand to Colorado, because that's Nisa. Her family's from Colorado. So we were like, hey, kind of a natural path. And, like, they were like, oh, what do you mean you want to move to Colorado? We're like, no. We want to expand to Colorado. And, like, the old school thinking, and this is where, like, new school, old school, they just couldn't wrap their head around expansion.
Yeah, you know what's so funny is I was going to ask you about this, because I see the differences.
Yep.
But the cultural difference between Hawaii and Colorado, or let's not even say Colorado, period, but just I'd say, like, the mainland versus Hawaii, because the two differences, the culture is so different, especially when it comes to, like, mindset and thinking bigger. And this is just something based off of, like, my experience that I've realized.
Yeah.
Is I've realized that, like, everybody buys a home, everybody's great grandparents buys a home, and then they pass it on their kids and their kids and their kids, and then everybody lives in the same home.
Yeah.
And I guess to each person is success, right?
Yeah.
But I realize one of the reasons why I moved from Hawaii and why I went to Washington State is because I was getting a cap too.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody told me there, hey, you can't grow bigger, you can't get bigger, there's only so many limits that you have to Hawaii. Yeah. And I'm like, I started noticing the cultural differences of not thinking bigger in that space. So it's funny that you say that.
For sure. And we could take this in a lot of different areas. But you go into abundance and scarcity, and it's so interesting because, you know, we expanded to Colorado because you see the opportunities, Arizona, Tucson, Phoenix, same thing, to where there is so much opportunity here. It's like, okay, you're Phoenix, you have, what is it, Mesa, Tempe, Gilbert, Chandler, Scottsdale,
all these little ponds.
To where if you're like, hey, I feel a little bit of a ceiling here, it's like, okay, we'll go 15 minutes up the highway and you have another market. Mm. Same thing with Colorado, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Fountain, Castle Rock, Denver, Boulder. You start being like, the opportunity is so huge there, which, like, again, in Hawaii, there is only a certain amount of business being done. So, like, not an abundant scarcity, but the reality is X amount of sales are conducted on the island of Oahu and each island, and that's it. So in order to take market share, you have to actually take market share. So it was an interesting place as far as, like, we still always lived in abundance there. And actually, that's what let us go from, you know, broke college kids to, you know, living, again, this life that we love and have had children and grown into. But at the same time, there was, like, I don't want to say non-opportunity, but there's a finite amount of business. Mm. So
yeah, that's a great way to put it. And now you guys have two kids, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, two daughters.
How old are they?
2.5-year-old spicy little pickle.
Are they twins?
No, but they're, I mean, pretty close. We have, and then 10-month-old
Zoe. Oh, 10-month-old.
So, God, they're awesome.
And they were born in Colorado?
Yeah, that was part of actually the expansion is we knew at that time, God, we have such a crazy story. We actually didn't want kids for the longest time. Like we were literally empire builders, sales, you know, we're going to crush worlds so that we didn't want kids to slow us down. And thank God, you know, God had different plans because I'm an advocate for children and actually other people that are like, we're not going to have kids. I'm like, dude, like I feel this sounds so terrible. And I'll just say it because if you don't know me, I say whatever is on my, but anyway,
yeah, say it.
I feel just bad first of all, for people that don't think kids are the God's gift, AKA kids are the coolest thing. Like it's just, I look at our life without the kids and I'm like, God, if we were just like stressed about this real estate stuff that we're going through here and there, like that would be miserable.
The fulfillment. It's so funny because the last podcast that I had here, I don't know if you saw Andy went on the news for Good Morning Arizona.
I don't know
if you saw the clip.
Yep.
So we had brought Scott on here and I did a podcast with him. It's waiting in the queue to get edited, but I did a podcast with him and he said his biggest regret in life is not having children. And I think about that all the time because I do believe that we were designed to have kids and recreate and make the next 200 years of your family blood.
Yep.
So that's so funny because I know a lot of people that are like work, grind mode, hustle. Yeah. But then you forget like it's the journey part. And then you forget about like the kids and the things that, you know, really make you smile and feel like... Oh. Yeah. You know, so fulfilled in life is to have kids. Yeah. And that's so funny because I can see that, like, when I met your wife downstairs, like, I can see that inside of her eyes. Like, Andy always talks about, I say this all the time, Andy always says, your eyes are the window to the soul.
Yeah.
And so when I look into somebody's eyes, I can clearly tell exactly where they're at in life. Yeah. I can tell you, especially based off of your body, I can tell exactly where you're at physically, your habits. I know what is most important to you. Yeah. And I can sense that in your wife's eyes when I look at her.
Yeah.
And that's so neat that you guys had a barrier. What was the breakthrough when you guys were like, you know what, let's just go ahead and have kids? Like, what was that?
Let's see. So, again, God comes in crazy ways. Like, I think we were going – so. We are going through an interesting time in business, industry, the market, and our personal careers to where, like, you know, we can, and that's why do a lot of people listen to me? It's like, if you're crushing it or have gone through it, because that's the thing, when I talk to leaders across the country, they're going through it or have been going through it. Like, we've gone through it and, like, are in the process of, we could continue to caffeinate, and we always talk about this, caffeinate and keep crushing. To just keep trying to do this thing we've been doing for 10 years. But it's like, I know it's not God's plan and we're going to take some shit to the next level in some really interesting ways. The breakthrough was at the time we were running that Better Homes and Gardens franchise, like people want to tell you like your journey. They want to tell you what is in store for you. And, you know, quite frankly, only God can. And so that was us, our business partners. And we were like $1 million deep into this Better Homes and Gardens franchise to where, you know, huge learning lessons like, you know, if you build it, they will come is not the way that it works whatsoever. And we tried that and it was like, okay, well, we were jamming in real estate. We built a team. We were jamming on team sales. And we thought the next integration, which again, no ego. I saw that, you know, our egos checked. There was a lot of ego that made us open up this company. And we were running that for four and a half years. And literally it was like, oh my God, like we saw behind. And it was, here's the thing, would I do it different if I had to do it again? No. Like we had to go through this. We met, well, first of all, we got like 30 years of hardcore business experience in 4 years. Like I can talk to a 65-year-old on their P&L statement eye to eye and like tell them what
exactly where they're at. Yeah,
exactly where they're at, and like no shits given. And so like there's some things that contacts and what I've learned and who I met, I wouldn't do it again. But at the same time, when we saw behind the curtains of like some of the most successful like companies across the country, Nisa and I were just like, oh my God, like P&L statements, you know, and how things were going to where we're like, that's a broken model. And so that's when we finally realized, dude, we got to get out of this. We did. And so like, I mean, that's a crazy, because I mean, so many people, especially high performers, salespeople, they wrap up their identity and what they're doing a lot of times.
So true.
Yep. And so we actually had to like tear that down to say like, all right, let's check our ego, because I don't care. You know, it's about me and my family and what we're going to do. So we actually had to like, we went through it at that time in a good way, because we knew what where we were going to pop out at. But in the midst of that, Nisa kind of, you know, gets pregnant. And it was like at that time, so she gets pregnant, and I already dealt, like this was the time I dealt with it, and then like nothing happened. So like nothing formed in the baby. But at the same time, that I already had already dealt with it. So it was actually one of those God checks. And thank God, I mean, again, it's like, as far as those situations, we hear like, you know, people going through like stories, which we're so empathetic and sympathetic on. So like, luckily it was enough of a God check for us to be like, okay, like, you know?
Yeah. And you guys are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
And so like when that didn't take, we were like, okay, mentally I had already dealt with having a kid. I went through the roller coaster. And at that time we were like, huh, like it just, God planted that seed figuratively at that moment to where we were like, okay, I think we want to. And it was pretty, we then went to Bali. So we wrapped up this office. This kind of happens, which was like this beautiful, like mental seed that God planted. And then we were like, we knew we were in the eye of a storm. And so we like, once we like wrapped up, and we have videos and stuff when we were wrapping up and like leaving the office for the last time, like, and this is where Nisa is like my better half. Cause like I would have thrown everything in the office away. Cause what we did is we literally said, hey, we don't even want this. We God played a huge part in that, because our business partner was and actually we still are respectful of him and decent relationship. I mean, he's older, very successful, and it was, you know, it came down to, you don't have to do anything different. You're about to retire, you know, you don't have a 5, 10, 20 years of this. Like, what you're doing worked. You put it in 30 years ago, it's good now. We can't do this exactly what you did for the next 30 years. It's not going to work. 20 years, not going to work. 10 years, probably not going to work. And so, aka when we parted, it was just like, you guys can take it all. Like, we can always make more money. Like, we're a lot of money into this.
Money is the number one most replaceable commodity in the world.
100%.
And I'm glad you guys realize that, because a lot of people don't.
They don't.
They're like, they cling on to it, and then and then they go and finding their security inside the money. And then that's when they're just like.
Well, ego, identity, so many things keep people running these shitty businesses that they should walk away from. Not that you're not going to go through it and you need to get through it and persevere, but there's a time and place when you need to actually read the writing on the wall and be able to walk away from certain things. So, AKA, when we left, I was so pissed and just frustrated that like I would have thought like, because here's the thing, I paid for all that, everything, furniture, I would have thrown it all away.
And it's funny, because it makes you also like appreciate it more when you invest in your own stuff. Correct. Versus like, and I get people that call in all the time and they're like, hey, I want to, you know, think about doing some coaching with Andy. I want to come to a seminar, this and that. And I'm like, okay, you've been following Andy for 2 years. Like, it's time for you to level up. You need to step up. Like, you need to come out here and get some training done. Yeah. And they're like, well, I'm going to see if my boss is going to pay for it, because they could just put it on the company credit card. And I'm like, no, you're thinking the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I used to think like that. Yep. Like, I used to say all the time, like, you know, let my boyfriend pay for it, or the company pay for it, or somebody else besides me. Cause I'm like, hey, if I don't have to pay for it, then it's not my problem. But then I realized when I started like coming out to events with Andy, I started realizing that all these people that would come out, it was like a country club.
Yeah.
They're like coming in from like Minnesota where it's cold, and they get to hang out with Andy all day in the palm trees. And then they're going to go party that night because their boss sent them out on a 2 day vacation.
Totally.
And I'm looking around and I'm like, all of you guys are disrespecting your own self and your own company. You have zero respect for you.
Yep.
And it made me realize, like, I remember my company had spent like $20,000 with Andy. They wrote a check to Andy, and Andy trained us for a whole year.
Nice.
But I remember telling myself, no, I'm going to pay for my own platform. I'm going to pay for my own seminar tickets, because I know that if it's coming out of my credit card, I'm going to have my blood, sweat, and tears. So even you guys like paying for your furniture and everything, like that's you guys putting it in. I love that. And so your wife is Nisa. She's currently active in the business right now.
Yes. So we always keep a real estate license with her, even though she's basically like the oil in the machine. Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone always is like, well, what does she do? She does branding, marketing. So the way it was like 10 years ago when I was jamming kind of on myself is I was doing like 15 to 20 million a year myself, and I would like slam it in, and she was TCing, and I would give it to her. When she came into the business, she helped build, she helps manage. So again, it's like, we try to take emotion out of it, but in certain situations in the last 10 years, if I'm emotional, she'll deal.
Yeah.
And if she's emotional, I'll deal, which has actually been a great dynamic. But she basically took us from 15 to 20 million a year and took us 40 million
plus. Can I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely.
And I want to ask this because it's a question that I get all the time.
Yep.
I saw that she won top 20 for women in business in 2020.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I have a lot of guys, men and women, that reach out to me and they're like, hey, how does your significant other not get jealous of you succeeding? Because typically in an American household, usually it's the man that is pulling all the weight. The wife just kind of stays home, takes care of the kids, does this and that. But when she's like winning all these accolades and awards and she's like rising above, and I'm asking you this because I can give my advice all day long till I'm black and blue.
Yep.
But some people, it's like proximity. When I'm too close to people, they don't want to hear it from me. They want to hear it from somebody else. So where's that fine line for you where you don't get jealous or upset because she is starting to rise and she's doing her own things in business and like doing things for her? How do you separate the whole like, oh, that's not fair. You know, you could sit there and pout about it and be upset. Like, you know, we're supposed to be doing this together instead of like, hey, I'm proud of you, babe. Like how, what's that separation for you? You know, how do you control that? And like, what is that for you that makes you be like, you know what? No, you're a badass. I'm freaking proud of you.
So we actually have an awesome relationship. We've been together, again, I guess the cool thing about coming up from like broke kids is we came up together to where like we very much look at life, this dragon of life together. I don't give a shit if she's got it or I've got it. I lead when I have to lead, but we always kind of talk about this kind of concept of alpha beta. Mm. And it's not male, female. Alpha beta is like, and I always say this, are we allowed to curse on the show or do I need to?
Yeah, you've already done it a couple times. It's all good.
Well, again, I usually stop it at the
if it's that S if word. It's that bad of a bad word, we can bleep it out, but you're good or it'll get cut out.
AKA, it's alpha wolf will rip someone's face off and a beta wolf will rip someone's face off. You know what I mean? It's like alpha beta has nothing to do with masculine, feminine, or even necessarily leader, but it's almost like a support. And actually, when you actually look at wolf packs and how they kind of like function, the science of the seniority of the pack is super interesting, but that's actually what we look at, like alpha beta, to where it's like, hey, I'm leading right now.
Love that.
But we've gone back and forth, just so everyone's clear. I dragged her into the real estate stuff. Like I was like, hey, you're going to come and work for me. So she was working for Fidelity National Title, escrow and title company. And I basically, she was getting way underpaid for what she was doing, but took her from that and brought into our business for TC. But before that, she was the breadwinner. Like when we were like, you know, serving and bartending through college, she was at, you know, you might know this. She Mai Tais. So she was a Mai Tai girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have a funny story about Mai Tai.
Yes.
I had a fake license. Oh, I admit I was one of those people.
Okay. Did they steal your license?
I was too scared. I didn't use it.
Got it.
This is so vulnerable. Oh my God. I remember like one of my cousins that lived in somewhere in the Midwest. She's like, Selena, we're all going in this weekend and we're getting fake licenses. So I need you to, this is the whole thing. She had me go buy a poster board from Walmart, a light blue one. And this was like 2 a.m. because she's like, Selena, I need your photo. Like, we're due. I guess they get a group discount on the more fake IDs that you get. This is so funny. I'm like 19. So I go and get a blue poster board. Hang it up, take my photo. It's 2 a.m. so I look super tired.
Oh my God.
And it's just that thing was legit. Like it was real. And I'm like, oh, the first place I'm gonna use this is Mai Tais. So I'm gonna go in there, I'm gonna find a super hot guy, and I'm gonna find my dream guy in here. And I never used it. I chickened out. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that back up. That's
I figured you would know. Appreciate that. But
that's a great spot though.
And she was killing it. So I was let's see, I served at Bubba Gump's.
That's right across the way.
And then Buca de Beppo. I was bartending there for just through college. But she was definitely.
So you guys, where were you guys going to school at?
HPU, Hawaii Pacific University.
And that's where you guys met, was at the school?
Yes. So let's see. I'm a male cheerleader. I was a male
cheerleader. Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
I went to University of Kentucky, and we both went through the cheerleading racket. She was in Kansas, and then we all ended up at Hawaii Pacific University, full ride scholarship, free school. I knew I would probably meet my wife and get free school. And I knew those two things
got
were great.
Both.
And got both.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I graduated from University of Hawaii, West Oahu, over in Kapolei.
Yeah.
That's where I graduated.
Oh, yeah.
HPU is an amazing university, though. And I'm glad you guys didn't get sucked into the whole, like, see, I was so scared of partying in college.
Yeah.
I was so scared. So I was selling cars full-time while going to school. But school was only 3 days out of the week. So, like, I'd go to school. I think my classes started at, like, 7:30 a.m. Try to get them as early as possible and stack them back to back till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
So then take me about 30 minutes to get to Pearl City. I worked at Cutter Dodge, Pearl City. It took me 30 minutes to drive there. Work by like 2:45, work from 2:45 to 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And that was my life. And I was so scared though to like not sell cars, or I was so scared to get fired that I'm like, nope, I'm not going to look at guys. And I'm just going to come here to study, because a lot of people do meet their spouse at school. But I was so scared of distractions that I just like ran from the building into my car and to get to work, because I'm like, I don't want to get caught up. But that's so cool that you got like everything all together. What did you guys graduate with?
Entrepreneurial Studies, International Business.
That's cool.
And actually, we were working on our MBA while we were doing that. So we were taking concurrent classes. But we were doing that and then cheerleading full time.
Oh, how neat. What a life.
It was
so cool.
And partying.
Yeah, you guys had it all. It's so funny. It's so funny when Steve Jobs says you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards.
Yeah, correct.
You know, so like, it's so funny how then everything was like crazy in a whirlwind, and you're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make it work? But now fast forward to 10 years later, 5 years later, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, like those times were so simple.
Yes.
You know, it's just the two of you. You don't have to worry about kids. You guys are enjoying you and doing the school and the Mai Tais and just hanging out. And man, that's so cool. So Nisa did a post, I think like 3 or 4 months ago. And on the post, she says, consumers don't trust realtors.
Yeah.
And I get that all the time from automotive, because I did car sales for 10 years.
Correct.
And I feel like automotive is almost way worse than it is with realtors.
Yeah.
So what's a way that you guys are changing the home industry? Like, what are the waves that you guys are making to make it better? Because I know what we're doing in automotive, but like you guys have a big presence there. So what are some different ways that you guys are changing that?
So, I mean, there's a couple different ways, and this is a big question. And it's funny with auto sales, because I know we've been tracking Andy Elliott's stuff for a year or two now, and knew that he came from, and it's just interesting from the auto, because in real estate, we're always like, man, at least we're better than car salesmen. Like,
I know. It's terrible. And it's like, it's not 1980 anymore, guys. You know, times have changed, things have changed, people have changed, but there's still that stigma out there of like, you know.
I think it probably is the same in all industries, 90%. So here's the thing, like, I buy cars, you know what I mean? Like, I try to go get a good, I try to usually talk directly to the manager, and he usually makes me talk to one of the sales associates. But it's 90-10. 10% of car salesmen, I'm sure, are wonderful, you know? And same thing with real estate. It's 90-10. I mean, if I'm being nice, I'll say 80-20, but it's probably 90-10 to where 90% are probably still giving real estate a bad name. Mm-hmm. And same thing probably in the auto industry. It's about just like who you are, how you carry business, core values. You know, we have our manifesto. I know you guys had your creed, which I like that. I like the creed terminology.
Cool.
But it's just like, be better. I always say, like, we're advisors, we're not salespeople. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll sell the shit out of your house, but like, I'm here to advise you and actually tell you, hey, does this make sense? Yes or no? Here's the interest rates. Here's the cap rate. Here's what you can rent it out for. This is the 3-year, 5-year, 10-year projections. Does it make sense? Or, hey, dude, like, your credit cards are maxed. Your credit is jank. Like, let's get you built up and then in a year revisit this. So advising, you know, not just selling, because actually in any industry too, like, you know, I'll get that phone call from a seller. Hey, we're having a hard time paying our mortgage. And you go back and you look at the situation of what happened, and an agent, you know, typically it's probably an agent that people know because they do this, to where like they just slam a client in, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At no thought or process of this person, their family, the long-term effects, but that agent got their commission. And so those are the things too, where it's like, you know, sometimes no deal is a good deal. Mm-hmm. And it's advising to where it's like, hey dude, like I'm a family and I have a family. Like I want to make sure I can pay my bills and do things and not make stupid decisions. So that advisor approach is just the way, and just being better. You know what I mean? And I always say this when I'm coaching, you know, new agents, it's like, you don't have to know the answer. Don't just make things up because so many people want to talk and just hear silence filled with noise that they just say things. And it's like, no, dude, it's okay to say like, hey, I'm not sure, I'll get back to you, and then get back to them.
Yeah.
But it's
just, if you say that you're going to do something, do it.
Correct. We'll call it. Yeah. And it's just be better. You know what I mean? Like, don't just do things at the expense of consumers to, you know, get a paycheck. And yeah, it's just advising, not sales. Definitely sales in terms of, and I always try to break this up, like, you know, what's the difference between like sales and advising and things like that? And it's, sales and advising versus manipulation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's helping somebody do something that they should do. And then manipulation is helping somebody do something they shouldn't do. It's kind of like the intention that goes behind it. So, I mean, that's it. Just, you know, it's start with yourself. You know, we have core values ourselves, you know, be the change that you want to see in the industry. Like, hey, yeah, if the industry's junk, start being the first person that behaves appropriately to start changing it. So, I mean, I think, is it I answer?
Yeah.
That? Did I answer that question?
Yeah. Okay. I always, whenever I answer a question, I always give it like 10 sentences. It happens every single time to me. But no, we just talk about stop being so transactional and being relational. And like, there's even times where I'm on the phone with somebody, and or even when I was in car sales, like I would literally just close my eyes and I would put myself in the other person's shoes. And I'm like, okay, if I was a single mom of three kids and I'm trying to do X, Y, Z, like what's the best course of action? And then I think like, okay, this is a mom who's 40 years old and she's divorced and she has three kids. I'm like, that's my mom.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I was talking to my mom right now and she's in this situation financially, this is what she's got going on, like what would I advise my mom to do?
Yeah.
So I always try to put myself in other people's shoes.
That's great.
And I think like what we preach here a lot too is put people first and the money will always come along.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you put the money first, you're never going to have the people come to you. And we talk about that with hiring too.
Yep.
When it comes to like leadership, because we had a lot of people that reach out and they're like, hey, what's some recruiting tips or tools or like, how do you guys hire?
Yep.
And I'll tell you exactly how we hire here at the Elliott Group. We don't do it for a paycheck. We don't even talk about the money.
Yeah.
Because if you set the expectation of like, oh my gosh, I'll show you my check. Like you're going to go make $50,000 next month. Well, the day that check doesn't show up, you're like, what the hell, Selena? You told me that I was going to make $50,000. Now I hired you for the wrong reason because I set the expectation.
Yeah. Totally.
But when I'm like, hey, Travis, are you in it for the culture? Do you want the brotherhood? Do you want your kids to be raised around our kids?
Yeah.
Like, what is your life mission? And when I bundle that up instead versus, and then the money comes along, you're like, oh, this is awesome because I got hired because of the culture and what I believe in.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so important. And so I tell people all the time, like when hiring, never put the money first.
Yeah.
And then reward with the good money, you know, after, and that creating culture is so important.
No, we actually do that.
Yeah.
Level one, I always say level one, level two conversation to where I won't talk about money or splits on first conversation. It's, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we do it. Culture. And they always ask splits. I'm like, hey, no, if you want to have another conversation here in a couple of days, then I'll bring it. Full transparency, I'll bring it and you will know exactly what it looks like. But yeah, never lead with the money. Even, I mean, teams, brokerages, you see that same thing. If you start talking about, hey, you should come here because of the money, then you will lose them in 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year,
totally,
when someone else shows them a little bit better money, even if it's like temporary.
You know, one thing that Andy taught me that I didn't use, and then I started using it once I started training with him. He goes, when you're hiring, because I was training with him, I was a sales manager at my dealership, and I was using his training to help grow the dealership.
Yeah.
He goes, when you're hiring people and when you're doing interviews, do you interview the wife? I'm like, no. Why do I need to interview the wife? I'm not hiring the wife. I'm hiring the husband.
Yep.
And he's like, you're doing it all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you need to meet the young kid or the guy, whoever. And then, like, if they seem like a good fit, you need to have them, like, come back in with their kids and their wife.
Yep.
Because you want to show them how serious that you take business.
Yeah.
And you want to tell them, like, hey, Travis, I'm not just trying to hire you here. Like, you're going to be working long hours with us at the dealership. Yeah. And I want your wife to know exactly what you're doing. And that every single time that you're coming into work, you're trading your time for money. So bring your wife. And then when we meet the wife, we're going to be like, hey, Nisa, like, I'm Selena. You know, this is my other sales manager, Andy here. I just want to let you know this is going to be his work environment.
Yep.
These are expectations for him. Do you have any problems with that?
Yeah.
You know, and then she's like, oh, shoot. Then she feels like part of it. But then then it creates that like loyalty to the company of, and the wife feels like a part of it of like, you know, like, man. And then I used to tell people all the time, hey, bring your kids by the dealership. Yep. Bring your kids by. I want to see your kids. So it's so cool because when I got hired into that sales manager position, like we'd have kids around the dealership all the time and the girlfriends and the spouses would come by. And I'm like, man, this is so, like, cool. You know, like it's not just the sales guys and like, oh God, I got to come into work. So
yeah, for sure.
That's a neat culture. How long have you been following Andy now?
Like 2 years. Okay. Yeah. It's going back to that real quick though. It's a great point as far as meeting the spouse. You've got to see who's in your person's ears. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, you want to build the culture, build that family dynamics for sure. We've definitely had situations where I'm not sure how you guys are structured in like team settings. And again, I'm just going straight to the point here.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want to know who the spouse is, because if that person you're hiring jives with you and they meet all your core values, and then that person's spouse absolutely does not, you can't hire them.
Yeah.
Like, because that person's going to be in their ear. I guess we just had a chat with one of our mentor team leaders as well. And we all see the same stuff. And he basically said something like, these people are making great money, but what you got to do is make sure they're not counting your money. And so like, that's also a reason why you want to talk to spouses as well, is like, again, making sure that dynamic's there. All right. So Andy Elliott, how long have we been following him? About 2 years. I actually reached out. So this is a sales show for leaders, I mean, quite frankly. And let's talk about your sales skills. For you guys listening now, no, absolutely, it's here. Like, I pinged and I was like, and actually Nisa is again the spouse that's always like, who is this? What is this? What are you doing? And again, I'm involved in, back in like 17 or 18, I think I was like, hey, I'm gonna go do this, like, you know, Navy SEALs Tony Robbins thing out of California.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's been like, I've been in kind of in and out involved with them for like 5 years, but super hardcore and just crazy. But again, kind of bringing her in that. And so when I like came across Andy Elliott's stuff, I'm like showing it to her, and I'm intense, like, just so you know, like, we're pretty sleepy and tired right now, but normally like we're even like more on fire and energetic to where I came across his stuff. And I was like, hey babe, like, what do you think of this dude's stuff? And she's like, man, he's intense. And she's like, I don't know if you need more intense. And I think I even wrote him, I was like, hey, like, I don't know if I need more intensity, but like, I like your stuff. And that's where you kind of started pinging. But as far as the unsale, so like literally, like, I have a concept, like, not trademarked, probably someday, or not really, but the unsale, like, to where like it's the unsale. Hey dude, I don't care if you buy this house, you got to live in it, you got to pay the mortgage. Does it meet your family dynamics? Do you like it? Can you afford to pay it? It's the unsale. Like, hey dude, I don't give a shit if you buy, I don't care if you buy this car. Mm-hmm. And you had a great, just, I don't want to call them tactics. The shirt, dude, like, we're chilling and like we get shirts in the mail and I'm like, ooh, dude, we are swag lovers. We love.
Yeah. I love swag.
Love stuff swag we all for sure. Get. Yeah. And so we got that and it was like, hey dude, like, AKA, and then like the big calendar, like,
from Jesse Itzler.
Yeah. We were like, dude, somebody sent us this big ass calendar.
Did you guys hang it up?
Not yet. We have it ready to go.
We have ours up.
Okay.
Ours are already mapped out for the whole year and we cross it off every day.
Yep. But we love it to where.
Do you follow Jesse Itzler?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. I think he was actually one of the OGs that I like.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Listened to for years, like years ago. Like, he's been kind of around doing stuff a long time. But you do things in a way to where, like, not that I feel obligated, but I'm like, hey, we are going to drive to Phoenix and Scottsdale and go visit these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that would be, when you look at like sales, is a great approach to like do things in a way without, and you never asked, hey, I sent this to you, I expect. There was not. It was just very nicely crafted and done.
Well, it's really hard, especially, and the reason why I'm talking about your wife a lot on here is because I'm really big into women empowerment.
Dude.
And
do you want to
it's
flip
so
her on here after?
Yeah. We'll have to do a part two next time with both of you guys on it, or me and her. But it's so important. It's really hard to find like-minded people in this world.
Yep.
It's very tough. And now that Andy is growing and the Elliott Group is growing, all of the people are starting to come out that have the money, but they want to ride our coattails and they want to just say that they want to do business with Andy.
Yeah.
Like there's people out there that we have declined contracts with, or people that we have refunded their money back because we don't want to do business with them. And yeah. we see the badness that they kind of like our inner circle group. Like we've had guys that have come in before, you know, we checked them out. They were all good. And then like, we hear that they're creating drama or they're starting stuff. We're like, no. Like we're going to remove you and we'll refund you your money because we don't do business with those people.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find good people. And I just know like, I think I was just born with another intuition. Like everybody says, like women, we have good sixth sense, we have a seventh sense and an eighth sense. But man, I feel like I was born with 1,000 senses and I can just see beyond that stuff. And when I found you guys, I'm like, you guys are not like every other couple, especially because your wife is in business. Most women are not. They don't want to get involved because the stress is too much. They'd rather take it easy and just take care of the kids. And it's like, no, you can be a leader and you can be a mom and you can run a business. Yep. Who told you? Somebody told you. You read it and you found it. And so it was somebody else's idea. And you took that and you think that you can't have it all.
Yep.
So when I found her, I'm like, she was the key piece to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I investigated her and I'm like, okay, if she is who she says she is, I know that you're the person that you are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, I just want to be around that.
Yeah.
Because you're the sum of the five people that you hang around. So I don't want to be around people that are making 50 grand a year. I don't want to be around people that are making $100,000 a year. Like, I want to be playing with millionaires because you guys are expanding my brain thinking and you make me think bigger.
Yeah.
So I have to be very, very careful, not only for my team's sake, but for my relationship, my boyfriend, because he's running a full team.
Yep.
I have to be very careful with what I take in and the information that I take
in.
Because subliminally, if I'm listening to annoying things or things that I hate all day long, well, when I go home, I'm just going to complain all day.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just like very particular. And that's why I'm like, you guys are just somebody that I want to stay close with, period. And like, as long as we're just growing and we're becoming like the best versions of us and we're leveling up, I'm like, I feel fulfilled. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, this is an awesome life. And then now it's like, because you guys did the right thing the entire time. It's like, look to where it's leading you at now. Like, you're on a Andy Elliott's 1% podcast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but that's because you guys put in the work and you did the hard stuff. Most people won't.
Yep.
They cut it out easy and they don't want to take on the hard stuff. And I just don't like people like that. I don't have respect for people like that.
Yeah.
I read a book. It's called Money of Psychology, Psychology of Money. And they talk about inside of the book that money, what people really strive for is not money and materialistic things. What they're looking for is respect.
Yeah.
And like you guys, you and your wife are, and your family are just people that I respect. And when I'm not a mom right now, but when I have kids one day, like, you know, I love seeing all your wife's photos and your guys' family photos. And I'm like, you know, I want to implement that.
Cool.
You know, so that's why I was just like attracted to you guys. Yeah. So, but that's neat that you, how did you find Andy? Like on YouTube or how did you come just, across him?
Instagram.
Or Instagram scrolling?
I think, just control the scroll. I just came across him online. And again, the intensity was like something I gravitated. And again, saying things that, let's see, because again, I say like, I don't want to say controversial, but offensive shit. I guess from time to time.
Yeah.
But there's certain things where I'm like, oh God, I can't say that. Or shouldn't say that, I guess. And he says the things that I think a lot of people think, or I'm thinking. Mm. And then he's just like unapologetically like, dude. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Thank God.
I receive that.
Yeah, absolutely. That. So just his like, you know, NFG type personality. I was like, I like that. Cause again, through this time that we're kind of like, we're going through it, like, you know, for sure. And this is where definitely not riding coattails. We paused. Like we've been pushing videos hardcore out since what, 2015-ish? Like and a long time. And this last year we kind of paused and we were like, hey, who are we? Who do we want to be? Who do we want to be in the marketplace? To where like we didn't want to just continue to push stuff out for the sake of pushing it out. So like this is where I'm telling people like, when we start pushing out hard again, it will be NFG. Like it will
be
very clear, very confident,
and
certain. The word certainty, and that's where Andy Elliott he's certain in.
You begin to unlock when you stop caring about what other people think about you. Oh, it's so true. I did a post one time and I deleted it. I shouldn't have deleted it, but it's a learning lesson. But I did a post one time about like women and altering their bodies, altering like the way that they look, you know, like getting, you know, lip injections and then getting like guys are getting six packs, implants of six packs ridiculous. Instead of just working out, you know, it's stuff like that. Yeah. It's like enhancements. And I get so frustrated and I talk about stuff like that and it is controversial, but I'm just like, if you want a six pack, you just go to the gym every single day for the next 6 months. Yeah. Or your diet, you fix it. Yeah. Stop eating cupcakes and candy corn during Halloween. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Like I'm sometimes guilty of that too. But I tell people like the problem is you're finding the security and the quick fixes that'll get you there within a 2 week surgery versus doing the work in 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just do the right thing. Yeah. And I did a post about that and oh my gosh, it just everybody was like, oh my gosh, so you're saying mascara is bad? And I'm like, oh God, like everybody always takes it into context. But
yeah.
So you guys have been falling in for 2 years. And same for your wife. You guys started falling in at the same time. Or was she kind of listening over?
Yeah. But I mean, okay, so cool. She follows.
But she's kind of like listened whenever you listen. Okay, cool. And okay, Jacqueline. Oh, she's a badass. Yeah. She sat in these chairs before.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool. How's Andy changed you? How has he changed you in the 2 years that you've been watching him?
I guess just the unapologetically, like it's just, and actually makes me want to like dive back into my sales stuff. Cause it's like, I've been selling for a long ass time, but I've been managing, I guess more so, I guess excited about sales, you know what I mean? And even growth. So I think everybody is kind of different seasons. You know, when you actually look at like all the different like personal growth people and like what they bring to the table. I mean, I don't know if it was Andy Elliott necessarily, but it was, that's right when I started getting my shit together on my diet. So like, I would
take
definitely
better care of your health.
Yeah, I've always been healthy, actually. We actually eat good, and I love cooking, and I'm an awesome cook. I mean, Nisa will say I'm a great cook, too. But ate right, or decent, and worked out. We've always been athletes our entire life, but just the non-tracking, like, I was Thick-fil-A. Like, I don't want
Thick-fil-A? I've never heard that one, folks. Thick-fil-A. That's what we're going to title this podcast.
And I've got a shirt. I got a Thick-fil-A shirt that one of my buddies sent me. But I was, I mean, I shed 35 pounds in the last, like, 8 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
And it was kind of just hard. Along those things to where it's kind of like a no excuses. Mm. Like, just like you said, it's not hard. It was like, I simply tracked my food. And here's the thing. I didn't do the easy things. I did the simple things.
Yeah, you stayed disciplined.
Yeah, just disciplined. So I'd say in the last year, definitely those were kind of in alignment to where, you know, just when he's talking about the people that work for him or being fit, it was just everything kind of came into alignment. So,
yeah. If you got to spend a whole week here with like our crew, you know, and you just got to hang out or like, I know Ed Milet talks about having that little camera that watches you. So if you could have a little camera, you could spend the whole week with us here. Like, what would you want to learn? Or like, what would you want to know if you got to, you know, like dial with us and hang out? Like, what do you think you'd want to learn?
I guess the whiteboard, we went through the whiteboard room. I love whiteboards. So like, you know, it would be basically gaining clarity and like mapping out what I want to build essentially. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like, I have different projects and companies kind of going right now and I kind of have them mapped out, but like, I would love like a whiteboard session with Andy as far as like mapping out and getting super clear and dialed in what I want to build.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. It's funny. One thing that I just love that Andy and Jacqueline have created is a lot of the times he doesn't have to initiate a meeting. Usually leaders initiate meetings, but a lot of us coaches will initiate a meeting and we're like, okay guys, Thursday at 6:00, we're going to all get together, bring a pen and a piece of paper. And we're going to talk about, you know, these three different things today and what we've learned. So that's really cool. Like just getting a pen and a piece of paper and having a full slate out. That's really cool. How big is your guys' team that you have right now?
That's what we have been jamming. So we went from six agents in Hawaii and like five agents in Colorado.
Okay.
So that's team. And then we have like 150 agents in our organization from Hawaii to Florida. Okay. And so as far as like, I drive my sales through my team, but this is where we're just restructuring and kind of pivoting to where the team in Hawaii, we went lean and mean and we're two agents helping in Hawaii and one agent helping in Colorado. And this is where I've been talking to kind of team leaders is, how do I want to rebuild, or how do I want to build, and like, how do you want to move forward? Again, it's actually checking out P&L statements. Again, we could have a whole episode on tracking. And again, we were just talking, our old business partner. Again, when you see like, oh my God, you would sell $1 billion in real estate, and you see the P&L, you're like, that does not make sense. And you're kind of seeing that even with teams, successful teams across the country, to where it's almost like, how do I want to build? Because it's, I think a lot of people are just rebuilding this, you know, broken record of this like broken model that's not really working, to where we are kind of dialing in a new model that's like, this will work now and moving forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's powerful. So, yeah. What's a fear that you have?
I mean, with kiddos, it totally changes. So it's like, we always take everything worst case scenario, this, and it really lets you evaluate. So like massive projects going right now that are taking some like financial resources with two kiddos, it kind of changes. And you, like, we talk about it too. I mean, like, we always are doing analysis on our mindset and being like, are we like a little in scarcity? Or, because back in the day, we could take it to zero. Like Nisa and I ourselves, we could always take it to zero. Hey, it's just me and you. We're good. We're at zero. We'll build again. With kids, you can't go to zero.
Yeah.
So that's
gotta
like
work around it.
Yeah. So that's where like my zero has a buffer. You know what I mean? And actually, when we were driving here, I had a 15-minute buffer built in that we definitely creeped into. But it's like there's buffers. Like I hide money and like store money in different areas and away in investments, to where like zero's not zero. You know what I mean? It's that. So the kids changes the dynamics, but drives to where I'm just like, and I guess that's what do you call that? Compound or increased training, like to where
the compound effect,
the floor is always higher the next cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's the benefit, but that is the fear with kids. It's like we can't go to zero. So. Mm.
That's really cool. When your back is against the wall.
Kind of.
We get kids all the time that are like 18. They're like, I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have kids. I'm like, you're so lucky, because there's nothing holding you back from going all in on you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, but then it's a curse and it's a blessing for people that do have kids. I'm like, you don't have any more time.
Yeah.
Like your kids watch every single thing that you do. And if you're not their hero and their mentor and the person that they look up to, they will find somebody else.
Yeah,
we preach that a lot here. So what is your next level? Like, what does that look like? What's the next upcoming year look like for you guys?
Yeah, we're literally talking about that next level, because like every level you have to break through it, and there's like this pain and suffering that comes. And so like every time we've broken through, we've kind of gone through it, and we're literally like, we know that next level, because again, we're building some cool stuff in the real estate space that I think will take us to that next level. It's just about, I mean, it's all ultimately like evaluating every situation. Who am I like, if I have $1 million in my back pocket in cash, or 10 million or 100 million? And so it's always evaluating like who you are, and then understanding and appreciating God's building you up to that next level, to where I guess that's where we're looking at, to where we know that simply just the real estate and running the team that we've been doing the last decade is not that next level. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, how do we want to build it? And, you know, again, being in a mental place to where, like, when we bring out some disruptive software, I guess you could say, to be in a certain place to where we can, like, you know, you said about the post, not delete it. You know what I mean? Who do we have to be to put that out and not pull the post down?
Mm.
And those, it's interesting, the questions that we ask ourselves now in this day and age. But that's it. It's more of a, we know kind of the next level, but we're diving into ourselves again, even though we've been in personal development for like 20 years, to where it's like, dude, like we already now, like we are functioning at a pretty like hardcore place, like unemotionally, to where like when we pour gasoline on this fire, it's going to be scary.
I love that. Oh, man. I love gasoline. It makes my car go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's funny. So I was telling, and this will be the last part, and we'll wrap up the podcast here. But I told Andy that, I mean, he always has me keeping tabs on you, making sure that, you know, that you guys are doing well. And but I let him know that you were coming in today. They're wrapping up, finishing up, moving out of their home. And I told him that you were coming. And so there's something that we do with people that come on the podcast. And this is like for selective individuals only. This isn't for everybody that we do. But Andy and I, we designed this pin. And you're somebody that we wanted to give it to. And
awesome.
We get these custom made. They have to be handmade. It's not something that I have like 5,000 of.
Yeah.
But we designed this pin, and it's a lion pin, and we wanted to give one to you.
Well, thank you.
And that's very rare. Like, that's something that only, like, our high-level clients get. Yeah. This is something that is, like, very specific to us, but it looks really nice when you wear it, like, on a shirt or a nice, you know, pullover. What do you guys call it? A suit? I guess a suit? I'm like, I was about to say a cardigan. I don't know what women call it versus men. But those are custom made, and so I wanted to give it to you on the podcast. I asked Andy, I'm like, is that okay if I get one?
This is awesome.
And he's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, I trust you in your opinion of what you think of them. So we're grateful for you. And the whole reason, like, why we even do these podcasts and why I said, like, hey, why should people know you is we just want to take the information from the people who have it to the people who need it. And you and your wife are just, like, growing exponentially, and I see, like, all of your old photos, and it's the old photos that, like, make me want to get closer with you guys, because, like, eventually I'm gonna be married and have kids, and we admire you for that, you know, both of you guys and what you guys are building. So
we appreciate it.
Thank you for driving 4 hours to to come out here to do this podcast. And also, oh, go ahead. Yes,
I was just gonna say, I mean, one of the things that I want to listen to, and that if people listen to us and yourself, it's like that as a leader or leading an organization of sales, like, you feel lonely a lot of times. And, like, one of the most inspirational things for us is to, like, hear people that are or were where we were and going through that storm. Cause it's like, we're going through a storm and there's people that have gone through it. We've gone through storms that other people haven't gone through, to where it's like, and that's just the truth. I mean, like, I think the foundation for this is always being transparent and truthful and not hiding but it's just, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, Nisa and I have definitely gone through some stuff, to where we appreciate sharing and appreciate you having us on to share. And we're excited for you and your journey. And that's why we definitely plugged in.
And where can everybody find you? So I'm going to put it in the comments down below too, but I don't know if you want them to text you or what's the best way to get a hold of you for people that are looking for you as a resource and find you. And that's why I like to have you on the podcast too. That way other people can reach out to you if they need anything.
I mean, my cell phone, 808-230-0389.
Can you say it one more time? I'll add a jingle at the back of it. I'm kidding. I'm not going to.
Yeah. 808-230-0389. That's my direct cell if you want to text on anything. But Real Travis Ferris. What's your Insta? Oh, and then at Nisa Ferris.
And that's NEESSA.
Yep. FARRIS. And then Real, REAL. Travis, TRAVISFARRIS as well. We also have at Collab Agents things. And then we have a couple YouTubes. We have kind of stuff everywhere. I think if you go online, Travis Ferris, Nisa Ferris, NEESSA, you'll find us everywhere.
Let's go. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, we're going to keep crushing it and taking over the planet with our big old biceps. Come on. Wow. Let's go.
Enjoyed this episode of Coffee for Closers? Subscribe to the show anywhere you find podcasts and follow Collab Agents on social @Collab Agents. We'll be right back.